Just gone 20 past six. It's home time with Howard. Let's talk tech. Fevzi Turkamp, the gadget detective, is with us. Fevzi, great to speak to you. Apple investors urging action on smartphone addiction. It's not just for kids. This is for everybody. You look on the bus or look on the train. Everybody's there on their screen, aren't they?
Yeah, I know. Do you remember Brave New World, the book?
Yeah. And
do you remember Soma, the thing that was meant to keep the population placid?
Yeah.
And not to ask the questions that they ought to be asking? I'm saying no more than that. they've achieved the goal. It's quite interesting. This is two investment groups that hold collectively about $2 billion worth of Apple stock between them. And they've written an open letter calling for Apple to do more to prevent children becoming addicted to them and spending too much time with their products, be they smartphones or tablets. They've mentioned that, heavy use of social media can have an effect on self-esteem and could possibly influence childhood depression. I mean, I have to say also, as far as phones are concerned, that people don't realise, but the UK government's advice on the use of mobile phones for children and young people is that they should be used as little as possible. And the reason for that is because we're not quite sure what effect it will have on children's brains, the electromagnetic waves, and in particular because children's skulls, although you wouldn't know it to talk to them, but their skulls are actually thinner than ours, and they they absorb more radiation. Whenever you buy a phone, if you look in the documentation, buried deep within it is something called a SAR rating, standard absorption rate.
Right.
And this is an indication of how much radiation your brain or a typical brain will absorb. Yeah, so you can compare. This phone will cause your brain to absorb this much, whereas this one will. No one ever looks at that. The reason why they do that is because I think they've learnt the lesson from cigarette companies who told us they were good for us and then spent decades being sued. And I think that there are all sorts of health warnings when it comes to mobile phones. Leave aside all the the depression and the social media and all of that, just the radiation itself, it's not well understood what effect that has, and therefore we're in a difficult position. And how does one minimize the use of a product which is designed to be addictive, and how far will even investors get with mobile phone companies asking them to make their products less? I mean, it's a bit like going to a drug dealer and asking them to make their drugs less addictive.
Mm.
They will only do it if they think that it's in their interest to do so. That's to say that if there were to be a backlash or something like that. But as you quite rightly say, Howard, it's not just a problem for children and teenagers, it's a problem for adults. We are all to some extent addicted to our devices.
Oh, absolutely no doubt about that. Yeah, well, that'd be an interesting one to follow, see what happens next. Tell us about this Android makeover that's going on for the Scion.
Oh, I love this story. Yeah, so if you're old enough to remember, back in the 90s, Scion, P-S-I-O-N, was a British company that made, in those days, what were called PDAs, personal digital assistants. And they were the forerunner to the smartphone. Essentially, they did what a smartphone does now, but that didn't have a phone built into it. It was just imagine a smartphone without that. And they made some great devices. I actually used to own these. I remember, I think I've still got some of them. Scion Series 3, Scion Revo, Scion Series 5. And the Series 5 was this great thing. It's a clamshell design, like a bulky spectacle case, if I can describe it that way, a little bit bigger than that. And it would open up with this elaborate hinge mechanism, and there'd be this beautiful crisp screen, albeit monochrome, and then a lovely keyboard with proper moving keys, better than the keys you get on a MacBook Pro, for example. And the one of the original designers of this product from however many years ago, 1999, I think, was the last one, has designed a modern version using an Android mobile technology, but building into the same sort of very similar clamshell design, very similar keys. And they've done one of these crowdfunding things, which I wouldn't recommend necessarily everyone goes out and puts money into crowdfunding, because there's always some risk involved in that. But I would be delighted. I would be one of the first to buy it if it comes to market.
Is there a demand, though, for this sort of thing? I mean, because it's a nice bit of retro kit, I guess, in some respects. It's a nice throwback, isn't it? But is there... Is there a demand today? I mean, having just talked about how addicted we are to smartphones.
Yeah, no, I think there is a demand. I mean, essentially, it's an Android smartphone, but it's got a decent keyboard on it. Mm. Don't forget, although we have, keys on the touchscreen that sort of slide up, first of all, you lose about half of your screen when you can't do anything
right, with course,
the
yeah.
type on it. And there's no tactile feedback. And with these devices, the way you typically use them is rest them in the two palms up, rest them on your fingers and type with your two thumbs. And it was fantastic. And, you know, you could easily do 40, 60 words a minute on these things. And it's just incredible. Hmm. So, yes, it is a bit retro, but, you know, there was a reason why BlackBerry held onto the keyboard for a long time. There is a role for it. I don't say it's going to have the same sort of resurgence because nowadays we've got voice inputs as well, which allows us to enter information increasingly more quickly and more accurately. But there are instances when you know, voice, you know, you don't want to speak in a loud or public space. So, you know, there are some uses for this. I personally love it, and I love the fact it looks so much like the original. It looks like a Scion Series 5, and if you go to the BBC website, you'll see it there. It's actually being shown off at the CES Expo in Las Vegas at the moment. So, you know, I guess I just like it.
Sold to you.
But let me just say this to you. You know, when Scion died and all the others took over, It took about 15 years for their software to get anywhere near as good as the Scion software had been. And it was a real shame that this British company, bit the dust in the way that it did, because it had great products.
Well, tell us about your gadget of the week.
Gadget of the week is from a company called Nest. It's called the Nest Cam IQ. It's an indoor security camera. It's not a cheap one, but it's probably one of the best, if not the best, on the market. So when you look at these cameras, they connect to the internet. They allow you to see what's going on in your home when you're not there overnight. You can check it on your smartphone. They vary immensely in quality, and generally speaking, the best quality ones have got what's called full HD, which is the same as a full HD screen in terms of its resolution. This one has got a sensor that's four times full HD. It only records in HD, but what that means is it can pan and scan around. So imagine like a full HD window in a window that's four times the area, and the software can move it around. So when it detects movement, it pans around to where it detects the movement. The camera itself doesn't move. This is all done, you know, using the solid state hardware. So it pans around the image and zooms in on the thing that moved. And it's very, very smart. So it can tell, for example, the difference between a person moving and a pet moving. Yeah, so it won't give you a false alarm. And if you want it to, and I must admit, I didn't switch this feature on, but if you wanted to, you can get the alerts. You get alerts on your phone when it detects these things. You can get it to tell you who it is. It'll do face recognition. So if it recognizes that person, it will say, yep, that's your spouse or whatever. No, I don't know this person. They've got a balaclava on. Don't like the look of that. And also it will tell the difference between speech and other sounds. So it will give you an alert when there is speech, but not when, you know, there's just some random sound from outside or something like that. So very, very clever. Also two-way communication. So these are good for if you want to, say, keep an eye on an elderly relative who maybe is living on their own or doesn't have enough support, you can put one of these in there. Not only can you see what's going on, you can talk to them and they can talk back to you via this as well. So it's kind of very smart. Not cheap, £299. And to get the full use of it, you need a subscription as well. So that's the downside. But arguably the best of breed, I think.
Fevzi, great to talk to you. Thanks for all the info. Fevzi Turkalp, our gadget detective. You can check him out and follow him on Twitter.